matters, remembering what used to be, how good it used to be, but no more. So what did they do when they realized they'd lost everything? Probably exactly what you and I would do. They sat. They didn't pray. They didn't hope. They sat. They sat weeping for those things that they wanted back so badly and thought, why didn't I appreciate them when I had them, you know? If the kids were young again, man, I'd spend a whole lot more time with them. You know, if I knew Dad was going to die this early, I would have asked for forgiveness a long time ago, you know? If I hadn't goofed off, I bet I could have kept that really good job, you know? We hung our harps on the willows there, and I thought, how often have we hung our dreams? We've hung our hopes up in the tree, no longer to look at them. You know, they even believed that God had left them and didn't care about them anymore. Yet at the time of that deepest despair, when they're in their deepest suffering and weeping, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and reminds them of a time long ago when they were in exile in Egypt and that God had delivered them. And in the midst of their suffering, when they had totally given up, God offers these words through Isaiah. He says, it's time to come home. He says, God reigns, Isaiah says. Go out from here with joy, and you shall be led back to peace. And they were really joyful, and you would think they'd be so excited to go back, right? They'd start packing right away, but do you think they did that? They didn't, because after being in exile for so many generations, they were afraid. Many of them would say, I'm way too old to be able to make that journey. Other would say, hey, look, I got a good job. I'm pretty comfortable here. I got a good home. I don't think I want to go. And I know the teenagers, what they say. I don't leave my friends. I am not going, right? They had no memory, most of them, of what the homeland even was. Why should they care about it? They had no idea why they should go back, you know? I think to have lost everything and to give up what you do have and to move back has got to be one of the scariest things there is. To move on means that you've got to go to a new place that you have never been there before. It means you have to learn new friends. You have to have new ways. It's beginning to live, as Sonny and Jeremy know, in the unknowing, isn't it? Knowing that life's never going to be the same again, but not knowing what life is going to become. So as expected, most of them stayed in Babylon, didn't they? Let's just play it safe, they said. And I've been guilty of that many times. I always lived to regret it. Probably do it again in the future. But a few took the chance. And it was a long, hard journey back. But God never left them. God went with them. And eventually, they did rebuild Jerusalem, didn't they? And they did rebuild their temple, even though it would be torn down in the future when the Romans were overruling them. But, you know, even when the Romans took them over, they remembered the word of Isaiah that said that eventually a Messiah would be born, a Messiah that would save them from oppression, you know? They remembered the words of Isaiah that said this, the people in walk in darkness have seen a great light. For those who live in the deepest darkness, a light has come. Yes, the future was different for them when they got back there. It was a lot harder than they thought it was ever going to be. It took a whole lot longer than they thought it ever would be. But they had a vision from God. And they so trusted in God that they went and they did it. And they're the reason that we have faith today. Now, there's two take-homes today that I want to take you, want you to take with you. I'm telling you that in advance. Perhaps today you're sitting by those waters of Babylon. You're crying because your life's not going the way that you want it to be. Maybe you don't have any money for Christmas or for the gifts, or you can't even make the house payment and the car's broken down. You don't know how you're going to ever fix that, you know? Or maybe that chair is empty by the Christmas tree this year. Or maybe it's child has moved away, or you've lost a loved one that you've had with you for 40, 50 years, and maybe you feel like those exiles today, and you feel like you just can't keep going. If that's true, then today I want you to remember, but there is a light that shines in the darkness, and there's always hope as long as you can focus on God. And the second takeaway from today is this. Our church has been in exile for a long time. We're no longer the vibrant church we used to be. Do you remember when the pews were all open? Do you remember, when the pews were full? And you didn't even have to invite anybody, right? They just came. It was great. And like many exiles, we're comfortable where we are, aren't we? Like many of the exiles, once in a while we weep for the way they were, at least the older ones do. But for the most part, we've become content, like the exiles in Babylon. We are just content. Let's just let things be as they are. And just like the exiles in Babylon, we could be content and we could die in Babylon, being exhausted, And in the meantime, what happens? Just like the children in the other generations of Babylon happened, they got farther and farther away from knowing anything about the faith, right? They got more and more absorbed into the culture. So they got to the point that said, I have to go back to church. What do I need it for, right? Does it seem familiar? Isn't it exactly what was going on in there? Besides that, why would we want to get serious about making disciples? That's a really scary thing to do, isn't it? Why would we want to march out those doors and invite somebody to know about Christ? But what if those exiles hadn't gone back? What if they weren't willing to make that long, hard journey? I'll tell you what would happen. You wouldn't have this faith, and this church would not be here today. And I'm thinking in our Advent journey, maybe we should be asking ourselves, are we staying in Babylon? Are we content to be here? Content to let the generations no longer know about God, no longer have Christ in their life, no longer know why they should come to church, What a cost it is if we don't leave Babylon. I'm reminded of the writer in Deuteronomy who said this, I have placed death and life before you. Choose life. And I know that you're afraid. So many times we've tried so many things and they haven't worked, And I know most of us don't really like change. But to me, the cost is too high not to do it. And listen, there are beautiful words from Isaiah today that says that you can do this. Listen to this. Don't fear. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the river of tears, they won't overwhelm you. When you walk through fires, those fires of depression, those fires of hopelessness, you won't be burned, and the flames shall not burn you. I'm doing a new thing. Don't you recognize it? And I think, Lord, maybe I don't. Because, it takes special eyes to be able to see what God is doing. You have to be looking through the eyes of faith. You have to be looking through the eyes of trust. Here's what I know. Somebody's out there weeping by the waters of Lansing. Somebody's out there that needs that light of hope in their lives right now. People need this church in their lives. And we have two choices. What are they? We can choose life or we can choose death. What will we choose? I'd say, let's choose life. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, there are people weeping in our community. People that need the hope that only you can bring. You call us today to stop weeping by the waters of Babylon and to become the church you created us to be. Help us to be bearers of your light in the darkness. Help us to choose life. This Advent, take away our fear of making disciples and help us like our forerunners did, like our ancestors did, to carry that faith to a new generation. Amen.